Are you ready for the Word of God? Who do you want to learn about today? Jesus. You don't want to learn about me? No? My wife says she knows everything. She's seen me naked, so don't imagine anything. Hey, Bible talks about make sure that you don't end up being naked. Make sure. There's two types of people in the world. There's nudies and there's clothies, okay? How many of you go to bed with your clothes on? The rest of you are disgusting. Put some clothes on. No judgment here, though. We don't judge anybody. Jesus said, make sure you got clothes so you don't end up naked and miss that day. Okay, it's talking about, of course, metaphorically, not literally, but ready for the Word of God? Who are we studying about? Who do we want to be like? Everybody want to be like Jesus? Okay. Even the ladies? Even the guys? Whew. All right, today is part two on the end series, part two, and we're going to talk about rapture, okay? We're going to talk about rapture. I'm going to start with a story that happened to us a few weeks ago. We were on vacation in Florida, and we had to rent a small apartment on the beach. They have these big condos, and you just rent one, and so we rented one out. And one night, we decided to go out with our friends. Tanya's childhood best friend lives there. So we decided to dress up and go to a nice restaurant on a bay somewhere and eat and spend a ridiculous amount of money. I mean, the closer you get to the water, the more expensive it gets. Just a tip. So we went out to eat, and the kids were kind of misbehaving. They have two kids, we have three kids, and they were tired of it, and we had so much to catch up. When you see each other once or twice a year, you got so much to talk about. And they're in ministry, and we are in ministry, so we got all that to talk about and hash out. And after this meeting, after this dinner, they're like, can we go to your house? And we're like, can we go to yours? They're like, you guys are on the beach, we want to be on the beach. And we're like, we're not really on the beach. You have to walk a while. But you know how when you dress up for a church, if somebody would go to your house right now, they'd probably be like, whoa, what a mess. So when you dress up, your house kind of dresses down, right? You know what I'm talking about? I figured out, because it happened to me before, I figured out that instead of having people come in into the mess, I tell them, can you wait 5 minutes? Before you come in, just give us some time to clean up the house. And we're on vacation, so we're not really at home. So everything, kids, swimming suits, towels are everywhere. You know, it's like that. And it's a small place. It's not like a big house that you could just sort everything out. So what I do is, Tanya, you go first and I'll stall. You know, I'll stall our guests. And so Tanya goes in and she cleans up a little bit, picks up the clothes, and they come in. I love having people come to our house at least once a week. You know why? Because it forces us to go into this hyper-cleaning mode. The problem is, most of our friends now have children. So the trade-off is, you clean the house, they come in, they trash it again, but at least it forces me to go and vacuum. I'm the vacuum guy. And our vacuum can only do half of the house at a time because it just, one of those vacuums. I was gonna go buy one yesterday, and twice I went to Walmart and never made it there. Second time, I ended up going to Monster Truck Show. So yeah, told my wife, yeah, me and Junior are going to Walmart. And on the way, somehow we ended up at the Monster Show. That was fun. I'll buy it today, sweetie, Monday. There's a benefit of having people come to your house. You get a clean house, amen? There's a benefit of putting a little pressure. And usually, if nobody's coming, it takes us like 3 hours to clean our house or so. You know, because you do some internet work, you watch your Facebook, you yell at the kids a little bit to get their rooms clean, right? It takes a while. But when friends are coming, sometimes we can clean our house in like 15 minutes. So I love it, okay? Today we're talking about rapture and how knowing about rapture can make you live your life better. And how knowing about rapture will make you live your life to the fullest. Most people, we are procrastinators. I am big time. I could accomplish so much more in life if I wasn't a procrastinator. Most people, well, not most people, all people have 24 hours a day. You know that, right? So how come some accomplish so much more in life than others? Because some are living with certain urgency in their life, and others are kind of just being complacent. I'm just taking it easy. You know, I'll clean my house later, and it's 3 months, and it's never been vacuumed. I'll wash my car. Have you ever went to a friend's car, and they're kind of a slob? Maybe that's some of you. I'm sorry. And you go into the car, and they have to move a whole bunch of junk for you to sit. With the car thing, you can't do this with the car thing. You can't say, hold on for 5 minutes, let me clean up. Because there's nowhere to hide that stuff, right? If I'm going to hire a secretary, I have to go look at her car when she's not expecting it. One time I did that, I looked at somebody's car and I found stuff that I didn't want to find. There was shorts, there was bras, there was junk everywhere. I'm like, this person cannot help me get organized because they're so disorganized. So, when you know you have people coming, you get organized. You start living with earnestness, with urgency, and it makes your life better. Parents, when we know that we don't have all the time in the world with our kids, we become better parents. Would you agree? See, some parents think this: my kids are growing up and I have plenty of time with them. And then kids grow up and parents start living in regret. I didn't spend enough time with my kids. See, because we were in that place of complacency, instead of saying, I don't have much time with my kids, so I gotta live my life to the fullest now, we say we got plenty of time. My mother, I love my mom, but she's not a hugging woman. You know, she doesn't give us a lot of hugs. My dad will smother you, right, with hugs. As soon as my dad sees me, a hug all the time. That's my dad, okay? My mom is opposite of that. But I know she wants to. She just grew up. And her mother is, my grandma is the same way. Now that she's like 85 or something, she's more, you know, touchy, more emotional. But before, oh no, she was just strong woman, strong woman. 2 years ago, Tanya just reminded me of this story. We had a little get-together. All my brothers, I have 6 brothers, and I think pretty much all of my brothers got together, and we went out to like Yankton, to the recreational area, and we were hanging out, spending time with the family. Their wives were there, the kids were there, grandparents were there, and my mom decided to read a poem. And the interesting thing, I don't know if she got that poem somewhere or if she wrote it herself. I don't really know. And I don't remember the words exactly, but the words in that poem that touched me and all of us brothers and our wives, that our wives started saying, go give your mom a hug, go give your mom a hug, was, the time when you were young has fled away so fast. I wish I'd given you more hugs. I wish I'd told you I loved you more. And now you're too big and I don't know what to do with you, pretty much. Something in that thing. And our wives were like tearing up and crying, and the guys were like, yeah, yeah. My mom realized, see, if we have urgency in our life, then we take care of people that we love better than when we think that there is so much time. If you have lost a loved one, I hear this a lot, that people say, I wish I spent more time with them. I wish that I didn't care about things that don't matter. Maybe you lost a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, whatever. We all say that. So urgency makes us live our life better. It makes us live our life to the fullest. Let me give you one more. Sometimes we say, I need to go exercise, right? I need to go exercise so I can live longer and be healthier. But because of complacency, what do? We don't do it because we say, I have plenty of time, right? And then you twist your back because you're not healthy and you're lifting way too much. And now you can't exercise. So you see, our life is unpredictable. It's short. We don't know when the end is going to come. And that's why Jesus, the reason he spoke about the end times, not to scare believers, but to make us live better. To live a life that's fuller and greater. Jesus is not looking for people who are saying, I'll get to the Bible reading later. I'll go to church next year. I got plenty of time. I'm young. You only have today. Jesus said, don't think about that you have all these plans. You only have what you have today. And so he said to us, I want you to live your life on guard. Imagine if our army, United States Army, kind of just partied and got drunk and they weren't really prepared and they were just never in their uniform. Their pants were to here. They were walking like this. How much trust would you have in that kind of an army? You'd be like, man, when Taliban comes, we're in trouble, right? What has to happen? The army, they teach them to walk shoulders straight. You can't be like this in the army. You have to be sharp. You have to be on guard. You have to be connected all the time. You have to know what's going on. That's what Jesus did when he taught us so much about the end times and rapture. Okay? Some of you are like, what is rapture, Pastor? You're making good points. One more point before I go into the message. Urgency will make your marriage better. Some of you men, some of you women, you just do everything else except loving your husband, loving your wife. You just say, I have more time. Come on, we're married now. She can't go. Where is she going to go? I heard this many times. Where is she going to go? You know, and then she goes, and then you're like, oh, my life is ruined. When we live in view of rapture, with the view that this world is going to end, Jesus is going to come. It's either going to end through me going through the grave, or it's going to end when Jesus returns and lifts me up. But it's going to end, and I want to live my life on purpose. I want to live a life with vision. I want to wake up and use the most out of my 24 hours a day. Urgency makes us better parents, better co-workers. Some of you have an idea, but you're just floating in the sea of nowhere. You have a dream, and you're not taking care of it because you think there's so much time. And before you know it, you get older and you say, oh, there's no more time. I wish I had a memory like I did when I was young. Do something about it now. Live your life with urgency, with view of rapture. That's why this teaching on rapture is not to give you a date when Jesus is going to come. Nobody knows. There's a big debate in the body of Christ about when it's going to happen. That's not the point. I think the biggest point of rapture is to make us live our life to the fullest. Christ came so you can have life to the fullest. Somebody say amen. Amen. That was a good introduction. Some of you are like, we're ready to pray. I got my point. I was praying and saying, God, what do you want to say through this teaching? I know it's not just about information. I know there's something more. And he says, speak to that. I want them to live a life to the fullest. So, what is rapture? Today we'll study one of the most significant end time events called rapture. Bible says this incident will have one of the most astounding effects on history of the world. According to numerous verses in the Bible, believers will be suddenly without warning snatched from the earth in a twinkling of an eye. That's what rapture is. To be forever with the Lord. Rapture is an end time event where all true believers who are still alive will be taken up or transported into heaven. Open Thessalonians 4:15. Thessalonians 4:15. Paul is talking to Thessalonians and he's telling them about this event. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still alive when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout. So Jesus shouts. Don't be afraid to shout at church. Jesus shouts. Okay. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up. That's the word rapture. Rapture is actually Latin for rapture, but we interpret it or translate it as caught up. So we will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Rapture. Jesus is not actually coming down to the earth during rapture. We will meet him in the air. So let's put a timeline, and I want to just give you a quick timeline of what I believe. Look on your left, there's a beginning, then there's resurrection. That's 2,000 years ago. Jesus came, was born. That's the first coming, okay? The next event, and there's no more prophecies left to be fulfilled in order for this event to take place, is rapture. Rapture is when all believers who are alive on the earth today will be snatched up. And this idea, and I want to show you something because some of you are like, how can this happen? In my cup right here, I have some nails and some wooden planks, little toothpicks and things like that, okay? Let's say you were in your garage, guys, and you had a whole bunch of nails and wood pieces, toothpicks and sawdust, and you wanted to get the nails out. What would you do? Right? I got a magnet here. I know it's kind of a platey thing, but all right, so we got this. We got some nails, and we got some wood toothpicks. So watch what happens. No way, huh? There's a toothpick actually stuck here, which shouldn't be there. Somebody's spouse got attached to them. I ain't letting you go. You ain't going nowhere without me, honey. So rapture is Jesus coming for his believers, for those who trust in him, for those who have put their trust in him. Okay? After rapture takes place, we see a tribulation. In the book of Revelation, if you want to know what tribulation is, from chapter 6 to chapter 19, horrible things happen on the earth. God pours out his judgment upon the earth like never before. Throughout the history of the world, when bad things happen, people have always asked this question, and you've probably heard this question many times. Where was God when 9/11 happened? Where is God when my family member had cancer and died? Where was God when evil people did this and that? Where was God when children are starving in the third world countries and dictators are swinging their golden guns and bullets? Where was God? Bible says God is in heaven, and he's waiting for the cup of iniquity or cup of evil to be filled. And one day, Bible says, that God's wrath will pour out upon the earth. Book of Daniel tells us that there will be 7 years of tribulation. It will be the time when Antichrist will be revealed. There's a lot of Antichrist now, people who are against Christ. That's what it means. But there will be one man. When the church is taken, the balance of power is disappeared, so there is evil ruling. You know that church right now, although we are imperfect, although we have many problems, we're still a balancing power. Like right now, imagine if there was one party in the United States of America. There was just Republicans, okay? Or there was just Democrats. See, right now there's balance of power. Right now there's balance of power between good and evil. The evil cannot go forth and do whatever it wants. Let me give you the scripture for that, because I want you guys to know this. 2 Thessalonians, guys, 2:7-9. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. So there's these two powers. There's evil working, but it's hiding itself. You know, nobody would say, I serve the devil. But a lot of people do the work of the devil without even saying it that way. But Bible says that one who's holding it back, I believe that's Holy Spirit, who's holding back this demonic spirit, and there's this balance. Almost, you want to call it yin and yang. But then, Holy Spirit will be taken away, and there'll be no resistance to evil. And that's where 7 years of God's judgment come. Let's read that. The man of lawlessness, that's Antichrist, will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power, signs and wonders and miracles and things like that. So there's a balance right now going on. And then when church is taken, when believers in Christ are taken, we're not going to be here, but it's going to get bad. See, right now we're talking about one world government. That's when one world government will happen. The world will get what it wants, except it won't want it. If you really want to know what's going on, read Revelations chapter 6 through 19. You'll be like, whoa. But you won't see the church in it. The church is not there anymore. We're gone. The world says Christians they're just hindrance to the progress and blah, blah, blah. Well, one day the church will be taken. It will not be here. There will be no hindrance to progress. And church is not hindrance to progress. We might be a hindrance against killing babies and things like that, but we're not hindrance. I love my iPhone. I want you to make a better one. You know, I love technology. We're no fundamentalist church. I go to the movies all the time. My kids, we got like 3 TVs in our home, you know, and sound systems and everything. So nobody, who is against progress? But one day the church will be taken out. I understand that right now some of you sitting here and you're like, Pastor, this is crazy. You're a believer, but you're like, this is nuts. Because I know for the modern American, for the modern intellectual person who went to college, finished high school, went to college, it's like, what are you talking about? People will be snatched up and some will be left behind? That's crazy. And listen, I got to admit it to you. It is kind of hard to believe, isn't it? But listen, this is not the first time we believe something crazy that's in the Bible. We believe that Jesus was born, came and became man, was born of a virgin. Why do we believe that? How's that? We believe that he walked on water. We believe that he took 5 pieces of bread and fed 10,000 people. We believe that he raised Lazarus from the dead. We believe that he was crucified and he rose again 3 days. So it's not the first time we believe something crazy that the world says is crazy. If you believe in resurrection, you might have a hard time believing in this, but you'll accept that. If you don't believe in the resurrection, this is totally nuts to you. But if you're here and you're not sure if you believe yet, I don't want to come judgmental at you and say, yo, you know, it's either you or us. No, I want to tell you that come more so you can hear. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And watch what God will do. Just because we don't agree on everything doesn't mean we don't belong together and we are not one family, okay? I believe everybody's on different levels of their faith walk. Some have ran 10 laps already. Some are just starting the first lap of their faith, right? Amen. So it's hard for Christians to believe. It's even harder for the unbelievers. They really do think we're nuts when I'm talking about this. But either you're Christian or none today, I want to tell you that living a life in view that Jesus is coming back will make your life better. That's it. For believer and unbeliever, living with the knowledge that Jesus is coming will make you to live your life to the fullest. So let's look at the Bible and get some more scriptures about rapture, okay? The first time we see scripture about rapture is in John. Well, no, let's go to the timeline. Can we do the timeline quickly? How many of you like timelines? I like them. Okay, let's put a picture of a timeline. So, what happens? Church is raptured, 7 years of tribulation. What happens after? Bible says that Antichrist, false prophet, and the beast, it's a trinity. It's a satanic trinity. Just like God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Satan has his own trinity. Antichrist, a false prophet, and the beast. Bible says that they're arrested. That angel comes down and arrests them and throws them in jail for 1,000 years. Sounds crazy again. Sounds crazy again, right? Evil will be bound for 1,000 years and this earth will prosper like never before. Now, question is, will there be death on the earth? I believe yes. But Bible says a 100-year-old will die like a 20-year-old, so we won't age as we do today. Amen? So girls, you'll get to 25 or 20 and that's how you'll look. Yeah. Even if you have lots of babies, you still look that way. No matter. All right? You can eat and still look good. So 1,000 years, no evil. Satan is bound, no one to deceive the nations. After 1,000 years, Satan is released for a short period of time. There will be a lot of people born in that period of millennium. And he's released and he goes and tempts the nations again, Bible says. And he goes to all the nations. He goes to Gog and Magog, which is right now Russia and Turkey, Iran, those areas. He goes there and he gathers the army biggest that the world has ever seen. And he comes and attacks Jerusalem, Bible says. What's the big deal about Jerusalem? Is that Jerusalem is a city where God rules. Jesus will come and rule in Jerusalem. That's where his capital will be in 1,000-year millennium. That's the time. And I know I'm talking crazy right now. We're not supposed to talk about this in church, Pastor. But I want you to just kind of have this idea, a picture. So 1,000 years, lion and the lamb walk together. Bible says, a child will take a cobra, nothing will happen. Yeah, that's in the Bible, guys. I know sometimes we want to take scriptures out of the Bible that are easy to understand, right? God loves me no matter what, and that's enough. But there's hard scriptures in the Bible, and we want to be balanced Christians, right? We want to be a church that knows the hard stuff and the easy stuff. So 1,000 years is over, Satan is loose, and his power is loose, and he goes and deceives the nations again. And they come, gathered in the biggest army there was, and they attack Israel again. And Bible says God comes down with fire from heaven and destroys it all in one moment. In one moment. There will be no human battle. One moment. At that moment, Satan is bound. And this time, he's never getting out. He's never getting out. He's bound. And then there's final judgment. God judges, you know, and gives us rewards. And we will get to judgment in 2 weeks. We will get to judgment. Because believers are not judged. Did you know that? Believers are rewarded according to their works. Those evil, Hitler is going to be judged. Bin Laden is going to be judged. Those evil people will be judged. Believers will receive rewards in heaven. The evil people will receive punishments in hell. And then Satan will no longer tempt the nations. It'll be perfect world. Now, Bible says, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. So there will be some kind of a place. I don't know if we'll live God with God in heaven then, all of us, or God will purify the earth, because Peter talks about it. We studied it last week. Peter said that earth will burn with fire. First time earth was destroyed with water, right? This time Bible says it will be with fire. So God will purify this earth, and either he's going to replenish it and we're going to come back and live here, or we'll have a double home. We'll go to heaven and be with him, and he will come down and be with us, and I don't know. But there will be no evil. There will be that utopia people wait for. Will there be a perfect world? Well, there is no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more disease, no more sicknesses, no more death. None of that. That's the world. That's where we're going, okay? But we know that rapture could happen anytime. But we know that final judgment might be a while. Might be 1,000 years at least. 1,007 years at least if it happened today. If rapture happened today. So does this help? Okay. Some of you are like, okay. Let's get through this series, Pastor Alex, and let's look John 14:1-3. This is Jesus himself says, don't let your hearts be troubled. When you think about rapture, listen to me. When you think about the end times, some of you will come out and panic. Some of you husbands will go to your family and go, come on, we got to get saved. That's not what you do. You don't panic. Don't let your heart be troubled when you think about rapture. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. The reason Jesus talked about it so much so we can live a life of urgency and that way live our life to the fullest. He wants Christians who are not this kind of Christians. I'm just defeated all the time, Pastor. Help me, would you? Pray for me. You can pray for yourself. You can prophesy to yourself. You can read Bible for yourself. You can encourage yourself. You cannot allow your heart to be troubled by yourself. If you're building your house, if you're building your foundation on Jesus Christ, don't let your heart be troubled. This message sometimes creates panic in carnal Christians. It shouldn't do that in you. It should create strength and encouragement in you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. Trust in God. He'll take care of it. I don't understand everything, Pastor. You don't have to. Nobody does. He'll take care of it. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I'm at. So this is the first reference to rapture. Jesus says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you wherever that place is. But it's awesome place, right? Perfect place. He's got a house prepared for you. That's what he's talking about. There's a big construction project in heaven happening right now. And so he says, I'm going to go take you and then I'm going to come back and get you. Next, Matthew 24:40. Two men will be working together in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch. Jesus says you must live a life on watch, on guard. You cannot just say, okay, I'm just going to, today I'm going to do nothing. And next week I'm going to do nothing. And keep watch, for you don't know what day the Lord is coming. This message, like I said, inspired me to live my life to the fullest, to love my family more, to win more people for Jesus, to love my church more, to serve you better, to be a pastor who's less on Facebook promoting the church and actually with you going out and having lunch and spending time and answering the questions and just living life, because I understand life is short. I want to be a better dad to my kids. I want to be a better husband to my wife. I want to go and actually kiss my mom on the cheek. I've been having that idea for a long time. I want to give my mom a hug, trap her in a corner, give her a hug, and just go, whoa, I'm going to do it. I don't know, man. I've already said this many times. I'm going to do it. Yeah, put a little camera in here somewhere. She'll freak out, I'm telling you, because my mom is not very, you know, like that. But I want to. I've had this idea. I don't want to live someday my mom is gone and I'm like, I wish I hugged my mom more. No, I'm going to do it. I want to live my life to the fullest. This message has inspired me. I hope it's inspiring you that Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. It could come at any moment. Jesus can come. There's no prophecies that are standing in the way to be fulfilled before rapture. There's prophecies that need to be fulfilled before second coming of Jesus. That's Antichrist has to be revealed and things like that. But there's no prophecies left for the rapture to happen. And I want to live my life like that. I want to live my life to the fullest. So I wouldn't say, Jesus, I was unfaithful servant. I want to be called a faithful servant. I want him to smile at me and say, good job, Alex. You did good. You were faithful with what I gave you. You were faithful with the gifts that I gave you. You were faithful with the people that I gave you. When will the rapture happen? And I'm just going to give you quick three positions. Because nobody knows when rapture is going to happen. Do you understand that? Nobody. I want to keep repeating you. Don't ever fall for a trick when somebody says, this is when it's going to happen. It's in February 22nd. The rapture is going to happen. No one knows. Jesus says, I don't even know. Only the Father. Father reserved the right to know when this time will happen. So leave it alone. Live your life today to the fullest. Love today to the fullest. There's three positions. There's pre-trib. That's what I believe. This is the most popular position. When will the rapture happen? Let's put that timeline again. Pre-trib means the rapture will happen before tribulation. That's what I believe. Some people believe the rapture will happen somewhere in here, after the tribulation, after the millennium, somewhere in here. And there's another position that believes the rapture will happen in the middle of 7-year tribulation. So there's pre-trib, pre-tribulation. There's post-tribulation and there's mid-tribulation. We don't know when it's going to happen. I've been studying this for weeks and I still, you can't get to that. I don't think God meant for us to know exactly. He gave us glimpses so we could be ready, so we can live a life to the fullest, but he doesn't want us to find out. So don't go spending your life trying to figure out when the rapture is going to happen. And don't go debating and say, I believe it's going to happen post-trib. I believe it's going to happen pre-trib. It's going to happen mid-trib. You know, there's this debate, useless debate in the body of Christ. We don't need that. Who cares? It's going to happen. There's no doubt. When? Let God decide. But for me, my job is to live ready. To be ready to build my house on a rock, not on the sand, when the storms come, that my faith would not be shaken. Because God says, he who endures to the end will be saved. And I can't endure without Christ. I need to be in him. I need to be in his word. I need to be a part of his church so that day does not find me unguarded, unexpectedly. Did you get something out of this message? Amen. I know a lot of you have been writing today, and that's awesome because I want you to take these notes with you to a life group this Wednesday. And your life group is going to discuss this subject. So you actually can bring your doubts. You can bring your questions. You can, you know, in our church, we allow people to question your faith. It's okay. We don't know all the answers, but totally question it. I'm the biggest questioner. Sometimes I question myself into unbelief. I'm like, what is this? What is this? God? And then I have to say, okay, I'm going where God doesn't want me to go. I just need to know the main thing is the main thing. Jesus Christ died for my sin. He paid the price. He saved me by faith, and I'm going to live with him forever. Amen? All right. Whew. I enjoyed preaching to you today. I hope you took enough notes. You guys are awesome. I saw you like switch pages. New Life Church exists so we can bring people from old life to new life. So we can bring people who are far from God into close relationship with Jesus. We're not here as a church to be exclusive and say it's us and them. No, our church exists so we can bring people who are walking far from God, who don't know God, who are distant from God, to close and personal relationship with him. And today, I want to tell you good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, God is not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He loves you so much. He wants you to be saved. His love for you is better than the love of your mother or your father or your grandma or all the love that you experience in your life put together. His love is much stronger than that. He loves you. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to say, I love you and I want to save you. During this time in my message, I want to give an opportunity to you to give your life to Christ. If you felt something today, you felt like God spoke to you today, maybe you don't understand everything, and that's okay. We're here to learn. We're here to take that journey together. But if God spoke to you today and your heart is beating fast right now, would you give your life to Christ? God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to make you a part of His family. He's not here to condemn you or to judge you. No. He's saving all that judgment for later. That's not for you. That's for somebody else. It's not for you. Let's pray together. Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you rose from the dead. From this day, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. Make me a part of your family. Give me your purpose in life. In Jesus' name, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Put your hands together and bless God.